For 11/30/2011, happy Thanksgiving, all you vegan Daggett frackers. It's Video Games Hot Dog. I'm Zach.
I'm Riff.
And I'm Kevin.
That was a great bit you just did there, Kevin.
I don't know if you're going to be able to hear it.
Yeah.
It's such a satisfying sound. Let me try it again. Yeah, I don't know if that's
It's satisfying to you because you know that it represents the promise of scotch in your gullet.
Yeah.
Kevin's drinking scotch. I'm drinking a PBR with my mustache.
I got water.
You're drinking? Oh, yeah. I'm drinking it with I think my mustache might actually be a tapeworm. How you guys been? Speaking of tapeworms, how was your Thanksgiving?
Oh, it's all right.
I gained 0 pounds, which was one of my goals. So yeah, I ate a lot of food though.
But you took frequent trips to the bathroom.
I didn't actually. I was traveling.
Oh, you're not actually bulimic, like I joked.
Oh no. Oh, is that what you were saying?
Yeah, no.
No. Yeah. No. I have that thing where when I'm traveling, I don't poop for days on end.
Oh, cool. I'm sure our listeners are excited to hear about that. What's it like not pooping for days on end?
Well, it doesn't really bother me.
It's kind of like a trip with no pooping.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, like, you know, 4 or 5 days in, I'm like, oh, I really need to go to the bathroom.
What about you, Rev? How much did you poop over Thanksgiving?
Just the standard amount.
Did you have any poopovers? What was for dessert?
You didn't travel, so you didn't have that, like,
anxious bowel syndrome.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got a car with that. It said it had ABS, and I was like, oh, good, anxious bowel syndrome.
Yeah, that'll stop you right in your tracks.
No, seriously, how was Thanksgiving?
It was great.
You gained no weight.
I gained no weight. I went to Connecticut and Boston briefly, or Salem, I guess, Massachusetts. And then I went on a hike. I did not. I did take a bunch of cool pictures of
burning witches,
gravestones,
witch-shaped scorch marks.
And then there's this cool monument to the people that were killed in the Salem witch trials in Salem. I took some pictures of that.
They just have a big brass plaque that just said sorry.
There was a carving which says I am innocent, which I took a picture of.
Was there a store that sold hardwood dildos coated with hallucinogenic oils?
No, but you could buy salvia in some of the stores there,
like at a truck stop.
No, in one of the like there was like some magic shops.
Like, want to know what those witches were up to? Smoke this,
lick this toad.
Yeah, I mean, wasn't that theoretically the ergot or whatever the hallucinogenic?
Yeah, cogito ergot sum.
Yeah,
which is like I think as a result of the massive quantities of ergot I've added together in my head.
It was some sort of like thing that grew in the rye,
like the catcher.
Some sort of catcher. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I heard that story was a big phony.
Yeah. And then what else? That's mostly it. I did Thanksgiving stuff, right? Mm-hmm. I guess that's what we
you had turkey did. And gravy and
turkey and gravy and
did you eat any loose corn?
No.
I had some loose corn.
Had some loose corn.
Yeah.
Loose certified corn.
You had a vegan Thanksgiving.
No, so it was nothing but corn.
Well, no, the corn was in the later, more traditional, personal Thanksgiving we had on Friday.
I see. So at your first dinner, there was just like quinoa loaf and some textured vegetable protein and gravy
and lentils.
Yes. Lentil gravy.
Yes.
While I enjoyed the turkey, I began to look forward to fried turkey.
Fried?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Deep fried turkey. We're going to deep fry a turkey for Christmas.
Yeah.
And then watch Die Hard.
Yeah.
That part where he deep fries a turkey. That where he forces the terrorist's face into a deep fryer.
So you deep fry a turkey and then roll it in broken glass.
Yeah. Then make fists with our feet.
Of the three movies that you want to watch at Christmas, do you own Gremlins?
Nope.
Okay, because I own the other two.
Oh, okay.
So,
So I need to buy Gremlins.
Yeah.
It's going to be a Gremlins Love Actually Die Hard Christmas. At the Video Games Hot Dog household.
I approve.
I went to Vegas.
Yeah, tell us about Vegas.
We had a Thanksgiving dinner at the buffet at the Wynn. It's called The Buffet.
I heard that it was like kind of line-tastic.
Yeah, we had to wait. We paid an extra $12 to skip the hour and a half line in favor of the half hour line. $12 per person.
Oh, wow.
And that was the only benefit that it gave you.
Well, and a free glass of champagne, a $12 glass of champagne, which I don't even like champagne, but my mom was excited about it. The buffet there was pretty fucking amazing. I hear it's a pretty impressive buffet under normal circumstances, but for Thanksgiving they went especially extra far.
Did you compare it to the non-Thanksgiving buffet just to see how awesome?
No, I wanted to, but nobody would let me spend that much money on food.
Is it regularly like $50 just to eat there?
I think it is regularly $50 per person to eat there.
Wow.
Yeah. But I wish that I could eat more because I would have taken greater advantage of it. I had like a quarter of a cob of corn, but it was delicious.
And that was your whole meal.
They had drawn butter on tap.
Wow.
There was like a little cask of butter.
Did they also have a quartered butter on tap?
Yeah. I never understood what drawn butter meant, but I thought, well, I'll draw this. It's draft butter.
Is it just butter that is sort of kept at a liquid temperature?
I don't know.
I feel like if you just stayed there for 6 or 8 hours, you'd probably get your money's worth.
I think they might get mad at you for doing that. I don't know. Maybe not.
You just need like a coat that you have access to the lining filled with plastic bags.
Yeah.
A coat of holding.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
A portable hole. The first thing you eat is a portable hole.
Oh, yeah.
And then you just keep eating stuff. And then later on. You can
die.
No, later on when you poop out the portable hole, you can eat it all again. And it's fine because the food has not technically passed through you, right? Like it just went into the hole.
It's just all pre-chewed.
This is a perfect plan. Oh, yeah. Gross.
Yeah.
Well, no, you also have to swallow it whole if you're doing this. But then you just don't really get to enjoy it the first time. You know what, guys?
Swallowing.
I'm sorry. This plan was terrible. There's no way to enjoy this buffet twice. Just sneak back in.
Could you
get a gun and just walk back in like you own the place.
Oh, could you have your cake and also eat it too?
You could. There were lots of cakes and pies and cupcake. I had a cupcake.
Okay.
A little mini cupcake. Had a gross creme brulee that was really disappointing.
That
was the only bad thing. Had some lamb and mint jelly. That made me feel like an old times man English.
Nice.
Whoa. Laptop went to sleep.
Was it all the tryptophan that your laptop ate?
I rode a roller coaster.
At the buffet?
Yes. Yeah, it was there's now for this,
like
for this part of the
combination.
Buffet. High speed pudding balls.
How did you know my high school nickname?
just tapioca gun that they shoot at the roller coaster attendees. No, I went to New York, to have lunch at Neun Foin Irishman, which is an Irish pub that I like at New York, and then my girlfriend made me ride the roller coaster because I
didn't know they even had. I guess I probably did know.
It is a pretty amazing roller coaster, actually.
Yeah,
like everybody that I talked to who's like more or less roller coaster enthusiastic was like, "Ooh, that's a good roller coaster." And it was fucking crazy. You go way the fuck up high, and then like big drop, and then up again, and then big drop, and then it goes upside down once in a loop, and then it goes upside down in a barrel roll.
Wow.
Where, like, right at a point where just Excalibur, like these giant brightly lit castle spires, are just hurtling by you upside down over your head.
Awesome.
Like, yeah, it was. The only problem was I was clenched really tight into the stuff that's holding the end of the car and whatever, and I just kept repeatedly nailing my funny bone every time there was a lurch because I was hitting the back of the car, and so I just could barely move my arm for the rest of the night after that.
Because we haven't recorded for an extra week, I forgot that in addition to that we also shot each other with balls of paint.
Oh yeah,
since the last show.
Yeah, I've done a lot of things that have reminded me how old I am.
Yeah.
Roller coaster, paintball.
You were having a hard time walking.
I was having a hard time walking the next couple of days after. Turns out that the whole crouching into cover and stuff, not as easy as, say, Marcus Phoenix or Alan Shepard make it look. Sybil Shepard, I think, is the main character in Mass Effect 2.
It was not as easy to recover your health as it appears in those games.
Yeah, yeah. You have to stand very still for like 3 or 4 days so your legs stop hurting. That's just an accelerated time.
I got some awesome welts. I should have taken some pictures of them.
I still have those. A lot of those welts are still visible on me.
Wow. I've got a couple of like small bruises, but nothing that I'm aware of that's actually welty. Mm.
I can't think of much else that was, so the rest of the Vegas trip was just a lot of drinking and gambling. I went to an arcade / nightclub.
Circus?
No, I went to Circus, and that was really sad. It gets sadder and sadder every time. I played a game where you drop a quarter into a thing, and there's like a projection screen on a table surface that's inside a sort of a hood with like some spaceships on it. And when you drop a quarter, it fires a missile from the place where the quarter lands. And I, on the second try, got the like super jackpot, so I won a whole bunch of tickets there, and then gave them to a child. But I just got lucky. It was interesting. There's a lot of interesting tech. In fact, what have you been playing is mostly going to be about this slot machine that I found particularly fascinating. But Vegas is weird. Every time I go, the quality of like the giant screens that are hanging over the streets gets better, and it makes the old ones look worse. It's like this weird sort of like, I don't know, it's like a Star Trek post-apocalypse kind of thing.
Did you stayed at the Wynn?
I stayed at the Wynn.
That's like one of the newest casinos on the Strip.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I wonder, like, I feel like some of the older casinos already kind of felt dated, and I feel like staying in one of the newest ones has got to make...
We did a bunch of gambling downtown on Fremont Street, which is weird because they're going through this
Fremont
kind of thing
Street
where
is
they
super
keep
old.
It is super old, but then they keep like kind of remodeling and stuff, and so then and that's weird. The Golden Gate has decided to replace everyone who works there with hot girls in bikinis.
The Golden Nugget?
The Golden Gate.
There's a Golden Gate.
There is a Golden Gate. Yeah. Huh. It is near the Golden Nugget, but it is not the Golden Nugget.
Oh, that's confusing.
So all the blackjack dealers were just also sort of strippers.
Were they naked?
They were fun. They were friendly and engaging. Now they were wearing like a
was there a
sexy bikini
pole that they would
there were two poles as part of the dealer rotation. So you would deal at a table, move along, deal at a table, move it along, deal at a table, dance at a pole, and then there was a pole on the other end of the rotation too.
What?
Yeah, no, I'm not like not even kidding. There was one girl that was dealing blackjack who it was her first shift dealing blackjack ever. Her previous job had been working at Hooters.
Her first shift.
Yeah.
Wow. I wonder how long they make you train.
I don't know.
I don't think people would tolerate.
They wouldn't. She was screwing up a lot, actually. Huh. Like just miscounting, and sometimes in people's favor, and sometimes in the house's favor. I felt like kind of a dick, but I started like, it's actually I think you beat us there, and then everybody would be like, fuck you, dude.
Wow, really?
And I'd be like, actually, no, you were about to take all of our money when we all won. Yeah, it was. She was nice.
Huh.
Yeah, so this arcade nightclub thing, a place called Insert Coins, which there was an awesome picture that my girlfriend took that I wish I had taken. I wish it had been a better picture. I should have given her my phone to take it with. But it is on the front of the building, it's like this logo that is a joystick and then a martini glass in this kind of Tron looking thing. It's like, oh, that makes me pretty happy. So I went inside. And I was pretty drunk, and I got kind of angsty about being inside this place because there's a lot of arcade games, but it was also like midnight on a Saturday, and it was very, very clubby. And so we didn't have to play the games. They let us in. You can, yeah.
Do people are they mostly unpopulated?
They are, actually. The games were mostly unpopulated. Yeah. Not in particularly good repair, which was sad. Because like I read a thing about it. There was like an article on Kotaku about a thing that was similar to that, but talking about how much better Insert Coins was because the guy that owns Insert Coins actually cares about video games. But a lot of them were broken, and then a lot of them were working, but shitty. Like I played
just bad games.
Yeah,
or?
No. Like just they were working, but the screens were shitty or whatever. Okay. Like I played the vector Star Wars game, the old school one, and I played that for a while. But like the left, I don't know, 10-15% of the screen was wrapped around, and so it was just hard to tell what was going on. Also, I don't remember you having to hit the trigger every time you shot. I was under the impression that in that game you could just hold the trigger down and it would constantly shoot because I don't remember playing it as a kid, my fingers constantly being tired.
It's possible that as a kid you didn't tire out so easily.
I also played I played one game of Dragon's Lair before I remembered, I have this on my phone and it doesn't cost anything to play it on my phone and I don't have to like worry about it. Even that like subtle bit of embarrassment that you get from losing doing really poorly at a video game in public. Played Karate Champ, which that was a big thing in my childhood. That was a game I was really fond of. I had a bunch of other stuff, but it got filled with douchey people, and I started to feel like these people were going on like a douche vacation in my childhood. And I was like, yeah, I kind of want to get out of here. Like, I'd like to go back to this place when it's not filled with like the Frosted Tips crowd.
Did your mom go there with you?
No, no. That was just the kids after all the parents, after all the grown-ups went to sleep on that Saturday night. You know, but it was a cool place. And I
where is it?
It is right off of Fremont Street. It's like down Fremont Street a little ways past the pedestrian mall.
Okay.
In one direction, the opposite direction from the plaza, which I don't remember. They have this big zip line that you can go down now, but we didn't do it because we didn't want to wait in line.
Huh.
But I definitely want to go back sometime and do that too.
That sounds cool.
Yeah. So that was my Vegas Thanksgiving.
That sounds awesome.
I sat by some pools and I read this book called Extra Lives, which is this series of essays about video games by this guy Tom Bissell, which are pretty good.
That sounds like a familiar name.
Yeah.
Does he have a vacuum cleaner?
Yeah, he does.
Empire.
Yeah. Him and the Singer guy. Him and Peter Singer. Prominent animal rights philosopher Peter Singer. Sometimes duke it out to see who has the better sewing machines. And I also read this book called American Nerd, which is about the history of nerds.
Just in the U.S.?
Sort of. It's about the traditions that, in his mind, the traditions that led up to the idea of the American nerd. And like, I don't know, the thesis of the book is like a sentence or two. You know, it's weird. I don't know that I would really recommend it.
What is the thesis of the book?
Well, it's like all of the obsessive nerdy behaviors being a sort of like quest for an order that a particular kind of mind craves and that the world can't provide, especially a world in which you're getting beaten up by football players all the time. And so like Dungeons and Dragons and the SCA being these extremely ordered and regimented things made,
I guess, video games in the same,
yeah,
in the same way.
just provide a lot of comfort that's not there. And you know, he talks about like the rise of sort of physical education programs in the 1800s and just the like the notion of the sort of jock, the all-American kid who's like being good at football is his sort of virility in an era of the usefulness of physical labor having been eroded by industrialization. You know, like everybody, the response to everybody sort of becoming a cog in a machine was everybody wants to form the Boy Scouts. Everybody wants to form the Boy Scouts.
I'll form the Boy Scouts.
You know, and I don't know. It was interesting.
So
it was a book. I read two entire books over Thanksgiving.
When it meant something to be able to like chase down a bison and strangle it with your bare hands, that was like the actual true athletic test. And then as industrialization happens,
right? Because then it's like, you know, like a pasty dweeb can do just as much work as a big tough guy, and so there was no premium on being big and tough anymore, and so society sort of manufactured one, and then that left the sort of, yeah, I don't know.
And so that was some sort of vacuum or something for pasty white guys.
Well, there's not everybody could do that, right? Like, not everybody can be a big tough guy. Not everybody cares
so
to.
The argument is that nerds formed as a reaction to jocks?
Well, that the social context in which nerds operate formed as a reaction to that. Like, not... he points out a lot of literary examples from you know, bygone eras of people who were just like, oh, well, this person is brutally honest all the time and they just don't get it, you know, like in Pride and Prejudice or whatever. They just don't get it because they... That's not Pride and Prejudice. It's something else. It's one of those other books.
Sins and Sensibility.
About ladies. There's the one sister who's just really blunt and nobody likes her. And it's like, well, you know, this is that kind of, and there were a few other characters that were really marginalized, but it was like just this sense that like people who were not socially well-adjusted have always sort of occupied this same niche, but the particular context came out of this idea of manliness that was sort of manufactured late 1800s.
And that this was in response to that. It was like,
yeah. Anyway.
That's an interesting take on everything. Right. I've not heard that thesis before.
You should read it after you read Ready Player One.
All right.
You nerd. What have you nerds been playing?
Basically just Skyrim.
Yeah?
I have the sassiest assassin.
Mm.
Sassy?
You have speech 100, assassination 100.
My speech is actually pretty high. Just, I mean, stealing everything that isn't nailed down and then selling it to dudes will get your speech pretty high pretty quick. But that has not been my focus. My focus has been sneaking up behind a guy and doing 1,800 points of damage.
What is it that makes you sassy in this context, then?
Just
the attitude that you, the player.
Just the general attitude, yeah. That I am totally willing to suck a bandit's soul into my dagger and then turn him into a plus 11% alchemy necklace.
Okay. Alchemy necklace.
Do you think that the particular person's soul that you suck in has an impact on like the different kinds of recipes that you're going to craft with that alchemy necklace?
Oh.
Yeah. Does every potion that you make come out as a fuck you potion?
That would be pretty good.
It might not even have had time to form that thought, though.
Well, that potion has huge balls.
Yeah. given how fast you're killing things from behind.
It's true. It's all these potions are named. What?
Yeah.
I played a little bit of Skyrim. I got my smithing up to 100 so that I could get the perk that allows me to make and improve some armor out of all the dragon bones that I'd been keeping on my picnic table.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Started making dragon armor.
I'm decked out in those. That's pretty cool. And then I started reading since I beat the main quest line and I feel like I
beat
time
the entire
there,
main quest line?
Yeah.
What level are you?
I did that a while ago. 35-ish.
Okay.
I feel like my time is drawing closer and closer to an end in the continent of Skyrim. And so I've been spending more time just like poking around wikis and stuff, like looking for, because I kind of want to see the rest of the like Daedra quests, mm-hmm. you know, because those are
the gods.
They're not really gods. They're like these sort of like evil, mostly yeah. evil, but largely just self-interest driven demigods.
Sort of
kind of
other planar demon kind of.
They're really like sort of magic bad guys. I don't know that they're immortal.
Right.
I think they might just have been around a really long time.
I mean, I have certainly killed some minor Daedras.
Yeah. But those are a lot of the quests with like their own voice acting and unique mechanics are centered around those. But yeah, I don't know. I'm still having fun. I mean, I keep going up to High Hrothgar and telling him to send me where the next word of power is because then it'll just reveal a place that I haven't, like a good sized mm-hmm. place that I haven't gone through yet. And it's getting a little repetitive. Like, oh, I bet this is going to be full of Draugr. It's like, yep, it's full of Draugr, just like everything else.
I was watching somebody play and something that I hadn't seen either of you guys do was use some cool dragon shouts. Mm-hmm. That stuff is pretty fucking awesome when you shout mm-hmm. and just like you just knock the shit out of your opponents and they just go flying and are unconscious for a little while.
Oh, is that unrelenting force that knocks people around? Yeah. I use the one that I use Marked for Death a lot.
Is
which
that one good?
It weakens them. Like it lowers their armor and stuff and just makes them faster to kill.
The one I've been using the most is the ethereal form one that makes it so that nobody can hit you, but you also can't hit anybody else.
So you do that to just run away.
Yeah, it's good for running away. And
can you heal yourself while you're ethereal?
I haven't tried. I've mainly been concentrating on running away.
there's some cool ones, though. There's one that you can turn people into ice, I guess, mm-hmm. which I've not used. You can't unlock very many of those. You have to kill a dragon for every word of one of those, and each of them has three words. That makes it progressively more powerful the more of them that you unlock. So you'd have to kill a lot of dragons to get to be caught up on the words that you've discovered. So it's because there's a lot of those words hidden in places where there are no dragons.
I have not yet run out of souls, though. I seem to be killing dragons frequently enough compared to...
Do you have every shout activated as you found it? Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, so there's a lot of them.
Well, I've been activating most of them. Hmm. I think there's one that I haven't bothered. I don't remember which one. Oh, the throw your voice one I haven't bothered to activate.
Huh. There's one that you get that forces a dragon to land. You get that as part of the plot progression. And so that one I have socketed almost all the time because I just don't need the others, really.
Hmm.
I just like hitting shit with a sword.
Yeah.
Smithing my own giant, awesome ebony sword. Can't make any swords out of dragon bones.
To suck souls.
That one I have a life steal.
To heal you as you hit?
Yeah.
That seems like a pretty worthwhile.
The one that I made, because I suck at enchanting, it just constantly runs out of charge, though.
Hmm.
And I used all my soul gems on the enchanting.
That's what you need that black star of whatever for.
Star Search. Yeah. The Black Star of Edmund.
Black Star of Edmund.
Can a soul gem hold a soul of arbitrary size below its level? Yeah.
Yes.
So you could fill it with a
which
goat.
Is a problem if you're not paying attention. I have several times filled like greater souls with piddly or greater gems with piddly souls because I wasn't paying attention to
how many I had of. When you use them, regardless of the size of the soul in it. Yeah, wow, that sucks.
So if you put a wolf soul in a greater gem, you've basically just wasted it.
Oh, that sucks.
Huh. That's all? All you've been playing is Skyrim?
I've watched a lot of Saints Row 3.
Yeah.
Which is pretty interesting. It is the character customizer that it starts out with is insane. It's got 14 different sliders just for the shape and position of your ears. Jenny spent a fair amount of time trying to make her character look as much as possible like her, and it's not perfect, but it's close enough that it's kind of uncanny. And wow. And all the more so because she picked the male Cockney voice. So you see her running around, and then she says, Roy, it's time to show these motherfuckers who's boss. What the hell?
Yeah, her proclivity to completely diametrically align the voice against whatever kind of visual character she's made.
But it's just the character creator is insane, and you can choose all the different colors for the outfits you buy. And
at some point, I feel like the number of ear sliders becomes just sort of meaningless.
I kind of feel like that they put so much detail onto that, partly just as a joke.
Right.
Just because the overall theme of the game is just batshit craziness. We're going to do everything we think of that is silly or funny. And I think they intentionally pushed the character creator out to ludicrous limits because of that. But
it would be kind of funny if that was the only customization you could do was just the shape and the position of your ears.
Get covered by your hair.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is what happened to Jenny.
There's only one hairstyle.
Yeah. But she says that the plot is not quite as satisfying or interesting as the second one, but they have definitely pushed the insanity up to maximum limits.
It's like Eternal Darkness.
Yeah. The thing that I think is my favorite thing that I've seen in that game is one of the gangs that you fight is all cyberpunk themed, and one of the rewards you get for defeating their boss is you get a full-size tank which goes into your garage so you can drive around whenever, but it's made out of glowing green cubes.
Oh, wow.
And the turret fires white cubes, which explode into showers with smaller white cubes, and the sound effect it makes when that happens is bip. And so she's just driving down the street in this green pixel tank going bip, 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 and everywhere cars are exploding into flames and people are running around screaming. It's absolutely hilarious.
I want to play that, but I want to do it when I have some time that is not otherwise committed to Skyrim or fucking, like, I'm already stressed out about this the next month because I have a tremendous amount of work to do, but also there's that new WoW patch.
Yeah.
And I want to go find...
I haven't even looked at WoW since that first time I was playing it, and I kind of want to get back to it, but
yeah,
I've got
being
so
able
much
to make your
Skyrim
armor look like older armor. I gotta go turn everything I own into wolves with lightning bolts shooting out of their eyes to wear on their shoulders.
That's right. I gotta get on WoWhead and find pictures of all the sexiest leather armor so I can go find it.
Yeah. The Darkmoon Fair is selling for tickets replicas of old dungeon sets.
Oh,
like,
neat.
Like, to make it so you can have stuff that looks like that old stuff without having to, like, get people together to do, like, a raid from 2005.
Can you do cross-class stuff?
You have to be able to wear everything, I think.
Sure, but, like, I feel like I would totally go for some, like, warlock stuff on my Shadow Priest, because that's way more.
You would
online.
If you had a World of Warcraft account, but you don't.
Don't make me sad.
And also the Old Republic That's
You can you can talk about that.
I can talk about that now. Do you guys want to know anything about the Old Republic?
Is it awesome?
The Giant Bomb guys. I was listening to that this morning. Actually, their most recent one, and based on that weekend trial, like they were super down on it for being MMO-y.
Wait, what?
Yeah,
they were down on it for being what it is.
Yeah, they I don't know. A lot of their complaints were reasonable, right? But I don't know. We've got a buddy who works for BioWare, and I got into the Friends and Family beta like several months ago, and played the last like three serious builds of it. And I don't know. I'm really excited about it. Like, I managed to put a bunch of hours into it knowing that the characters were going to get deleted, which mm-hmm. leads me to believe that it is fun beyond just the progression. That said, by 3 months in, I was no longer really willing to do that. In the last build, I played a guy up to like level 5 or whatever, and I was like, yeah, you know, it's close enough to coming out now that I don't want to do this. And I'd also run out of classes that I didn't really care about to play. The stories for the different classes are dramatically different in the way that they play. We met this guy at Comic-Con who was a writer for one of the better ones that I had encountered, and he was talking about how the writers basically planned out the entire quest progression for all of the classes. Hmm. And then it's like, okay, well, here are these planets. You write at what happens, and then we, you know, you need a building over here.
Nice.
We'll code up these quests based on what the plot requires. And, you know, it shows. And, there, you know, there's an amount of... The one complaint that the guy... I don't even remember which guy it was that played over the weekend, but the complaint that he had that I felt was the most reasonable was, you'll find a guy out in the world for one of the non-story quests, and he will spend a really, really long time giving you the backstory for why you need to kill these 10 rats.
Hmm.
And it's like, you know,
is it not skippable? Or
it is, but I hate it's skipping.
Not, it, right. It isn't like just a text box, though. It's like line after line of dialogue.
Yeah, and I don't know if you can, like, if you could get subtitles, especially for the like just minor stuff, especially for the minor stuff that you've already done once.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't skip the storyline quests because they're good. Like, they're good enough to watch. Mm-hmm. I mean, as much as I kind of hate cutscenes, like they're not so long that they're obnoxious. But there is some genuine like good characterization and stuff. Like the characters that I played the most were like the Sith Inquisitor, like the sort of caster bad Jedi, and the warrior is the one that I played extra most. There was a period of time where people got like triple experience, and so you could really burn through, you could just do the story quests.
Hmm.
It seems like they're making it so you progress about a third, you get a third of your experience from doing the story quest, and then you just run around doing other shit, like mobs that you kill on the way to and from your story quests and random other quests that you pick fill in the rest of your leveling. I don't know. I'm going to play it, I think. You know, I'm probably going to do exactly what I do with World of Warcraft, which is buy an account and then just keep forgetting to cancel it. And so they're going to have, like, another perfect customer.
What's the end game? Like, when you hit the level cap?
No idea. I didn't go to the end. I mean, they have
raiding. There will be raids.
There is at least one available in the beta.
And they're going to have several.
Yeah, they're launching. I think their goal is to launch with as many instances as Vanilla WoW had, which is not, you know.
I wonder how many that was, actually.
So it wasn't very many. It was like a dozen, maybe.
A dozen's not bad.
Yeah. Although six perfection, if they're doing it that way, right? Because the only instances that I played were actually really cool. You're like going around from spaceship to spaceship, and you can sort of change the way that things pan out by playing. The multiplayer dialogue is weird.
Oh, yeah, that is strange.
Everybody has like the same options to respond to a dude, and you pick one, and then it rolls dice, and whoever rolls, it's like a loot roll, whoever rolls the highest gets to talk. And if they picked a dark side option, then everybody gets dark side points.
Oh.
Which is a little weird. Huh. So like I think that if you just can't have as a goal, I don't want to accumulate any dark side points.
Right, because you're
not going to be able to help it.
Yeah.
If you get dark side points, do you lose light side points?
No, they're just two. They're two different.
Can you have them maxed? Both maxed out?
I believe that you can. I think it would be really hard, because I think the bulk of your dark side points, the bulk of your light side points, come from the questing that you do, getting to the level cap, and then there's repeatable stuff that gives you the points. But I think it's a lot harder.
What are those points for? Are they spent or
they are not? They unlock gear. Okay. So there's certain gear that you can only use if you are dark side, whatever. And I don't know if they're mechanically different gear. It might just be
flavor.
Yeah, like the way that they look.
Okay, so there's really no particular detriment to having...
I don't know. I honestly don't know for sure. Like, I never got past, like, the first couple of levels of either of them. Hmm. I was kind of a dilettante about playing. I never got super enthusiastic about just grinding levels up. The crafting is interesting. Like, you don't do it yourself for the most part. You've got these companions, and the ones that aren't with you or the ones that are with you, you send them off to gather ingredients for you. It costs money to do it, except one of the gathering skills gets you a ton of money. So it's a little weird, because it seems like you would almost always take that one. Like, that just seems like a sort of a dubious balance decision.
Well, if money is what you're concerned about.
Well, if being able to, like, if having a give, so you can pick three trade skills, and if having one of those trade skills, if there's one trade skill that makes the other two trade skills advance twice as fast, right, you would always pick that one and then ditch it when you wanted to replace it with whatever you actually wanted. It was also weird, like, I was like, all right, so if I want to make armor for my warrior guy, what are the crafts that I should take? And so it was synth weaving. No, and archaeology and diplomacy are the gathering professions for a weaver.
What?
I do not fucking understand why diplomacy. Like, archaeology, all of the fabrics are woven out of crystals. So that's how that works,
that
right?
That sounds uncomfortable.
Well, you know, you could wear like a steel wool vest and it wouldn't be that uncomfortable. I mean, you wouldn't want to wear a cotton plant, but you don't mind wearing a cotton shirt, right? So, like, if you were just like, ooh, cotton, I'm going to get a new t-shirt. And you just, like, roll around in cotton until you have thorny leaves stuck to you. You'd be like, this sucks.
Sure, but...
that was, I wish that I had been able to talk about it when it was fresher in my mind, but it's fucking awesome. It's super fun. I enjoy melee combat in this game more than I've ever enjoyed combat in any MMO.
It's melee combat with lightsabers.
It's fucking lightsabers. Yeah, which is cool.
How does it look? Does it look like artistically well designed?
Yeah, it's like, wow. It's low. Okay. It's low poly count, but really good art direction.
Nice.
I mean, so there are, on every planet, there are these hidden datacrons that they just put in like super out of the way locations, and you never get a quest to go there, and no quest ever takes you near them for the most part. Sometimes you'll like catch a glimpse of one while you're on a griffin. and then you go over to it, and it's like, just there's a bunch of objects that like unlock lore in your codex thing. Some of those datacrons give you stat ups, like minor stat ups. And so if you're min-maxing, you sort of have to look up where they are and go get them all. But I don't know. I thought it was interesting. I thought it was nice that they encourage...
Yeah, that sounds fun.
They encourage poking around
by
having a lot of stuff hidden in places that, you know... And it's, you know, like getting a journal unlocked doesn't really do anything, but it's like... Yeah, it's, you know, gives you a little story. It's well-written.
Hmm.
You know, they know what they're doing. Making an RPG. I don't know how great... I feel like when you're doing the main leveling progression, your primary response to seeing other people is going to be like, damn it. Because they're killing the quest mobs that you need or whatever.
Well,
right?
I'm
because
pretty familiar with that from WoW.
Yeah,
so it's not
but,
like
it's not,
that's
but that
new.
Doesn't make it good, right?
Right,
like,
right.
It is what it is, but...
You say that, but maybe you won't see anybody because of the way that they're going to roll it out, right? Like, don't all the people who ordered the the pre-order or whatever, get it first, and then they're not going to sell it for a while?
So it's very much a keep rolling alts game, right? Like, because you play it, if you play one class to the level cap, you're only going to have seen, you know, a little more than an eighth of the content, right?
Do you keep rolling alts, or do you, like...
I think so, yeah. Okay. You know, you do like a weird, you pick a last name. The first time you get a character to 10, you pick a last name, and then that it has to be unique across all servers, and it becomes the last name of every character that you create from then on.
Huh.
Which is a little weird, because it's like, oh, I make this Sith guy, and I get to level 10, and I'm going to hit Shadowfucker. And then it's like, oh, all of my Jedi good guy guys have to be Bobo Shadowfucker. Bozo Shadowfucker.
The fact that that's going to be unique across all other servers.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to make it a race to level 10 for me when I get my pre-order. Yeah. I got to get a four-letter name.
Four-letter last name?
Cunt. Yeah. Bobo Cunt.
Harry, I hope they do a Mac client.
I also have been playing a lot of Super Mario 3D Land.
Oh, how is that?
It's pretty good.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's a fun Mario game.
Do you have the 3D on at all?
Nope.
Okay.
How
do you tell which paintings are real?
I just get annoyed. There are some rooms where it's just like this, oh, look at this trick we just did. If you don't have the 3D turned on, you can't tell what the fuck is going on with these bricks. I'm just like, cool trick, guys. I'll just take my finger off the buttons and slide this slider up.
You don't have this 3D on just a little bit?
No, it's gross. It makes everything gross and half there.
Okay.
And I hate it. We've had this discussion before,
I guess.
Also, I only ever play sitting in one of those machines with the belt that vibrates you, so it's impossible for me to hold the thing still.
Yeah. Plus, your eye patch, I figure, is kind of
sure. I'm losing a lot of weight though in the 40s because of that machine. I've been also playing. No, that was it.
No, that's not it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
My slot machine. Yes. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah.
Right, I almost forgot. Wow, this was all I was thinking about the entire time I was in Vegas. So, I played this Ghostbusters slot machine, which I kept wanting to call a Ghostbusters pinball machine. This thing contained a bunch of technology that I had not seen in practical...
Like a flux capacitor?
Yeah.
like a proton pack.
That was in the... proton pack. The flux capacitor was in the Gremlins.
Right.
Pinball machine. Also, they had a Batman... Batman slot machine that was shittier than this. But so it is two slot machines, two aside, on either side of this big sort of tall, I don't know, maybe 8 foot tall thing, big screen TV above the top of each of them, chairs that were wired with subwoofers to vibrate when stuff happened, and speakers behind your head. It was one of those, like, they keep upping the ante on slot machines to stop them from being boring, right? So it was one of those, like, all right, so this has five reels and three rows across, and you can bet on those three lines, and then you can bet on every combination of, like, the diagonals and stuff. And so you're betting 1 to 5 coins on 1 to 30 lines across this thing. And in the middle three reels, there's a symbol that's like this bonus thing. It's just like the ghost in the circle with the slash through it that says bonus on it. And if three of those show up, the screen switches to like Ecto-1 with the lights on tearing down a street, and it says, oh, bonus round, and everybody, it's like real exciting. And then you're in a hallway and you see Slimer, and you touch Slimer and it shoots proton beam at him, and then he flies up to the big screen that's above you and dances around to see which of the bonus games you get to play. And five of them are these progressive jackpots that just like, they start out at $1, $5, $10, $100, and $500 or $600 and go up a few cents every time somebody plays the game. And if you get one of those, the game that you play is there are five sort of shells for you to look under. And for every coin that you bet on that round, you get to open one of the shells. And so if you bet the max, you're guaranteed to win the progressive if you get that thing. There were some other games, one of which was Peter Venkman holds up a card and you have to guess which symbol is on the card. So there's just like, it's just like a series of coin flips.
Huh.
But all of these things are like as much as they can put in there without making a game,
right?
Because it's still just these very, very straightforward like games of chance.
There's no strategy. It's all...
No, it's, I don't know. There is, I'm sure, some some conjecture. There is some superstition, but I don't think there's any strategy. The machine itself was kind of amazing. I had never seen this before, but it was a 3D effect created by having a transparent LCD screen in front of a regular LCD screen by about a half an inch.
So you have like a two-layer effect?
Yeah, but it, like, I've never seen a transparent LCD screen. I didn't know that that was a thing that they could make, but it was pretty good. On the, they had the same thing on the Batman machine, but the back screen was really blurry, and I don't know if that's because the front screen was just cheaper and less transparent, so they were mostly using it for drop shadows and stuff. But on this Ghostbusters one, like, a lot of the time there would be an image framing the back screen on the front screen, and then the action is taking place on the back screen. But then, like, when you get things that match up, they start throbbing in and out between the screens. Uh-huh. And it's, like, just really, like, a non-intrusive 3D that was pretty impressive. The buttons had little screens in them that were context-sensitive that would turn into whatever they were doing in the given... in the given mini game, if you didn't want to use the touch screen.
Nice.
Yeah, I don't know. Spent a lot of time. I was up like $500 on this thing. Like, I just kept getting lucky. And if you get one of the progressives, you end up getting like four or five times what the progressive is with getting all of the prizes that aren't the progressive.
Like auto insurance?
Maybe not four or five times, because that wouldn't make any sense, because none of the prizes would be bigger than the progressive, but say four times. Anyway, yeah, won a bunch of money doing that, because I'm good at video games. But it was cool.
Good at flipping a coin.
It was cool. It would play these movie clips from the Ghost. Every once in a while, Slimer would come in and slime a couple of the reels and turn them all into wild cards. Every once in a while, that librarian ghost would fly by and turn some things into wild cards at random. The dog, the Gozer. What's the dog's
name? The Hellhounds.
The Daggett.
News. Yeah, the Daggett. awful hot day to be fracking a Daggett. Did you know that Daggetts is what they call dogs on Battlestar Galactica?
No.
Yeah. They have a special name for dog and fuck. What about you, Kevin?
Well, so I haven't been to Vegas or been playing any Skyrim. I've watched people play Skyrim, but not played it myself. So I played some older school, like, iPhone games.
Some Elder Scrolls iPhone games?
Yeah, Elder
School. You mean like Minecraft?
Yeah. I was playing the Creeps some, because they had like a Thanksgiving level pack.
Oh, I didn't see that. I've been playing the Halloween level pack.
Oh, okay.
It's fucking hard.
Yeah, there was at least one really hard level. I've been having a hard time like beating them all perfectly on hard. And then still playing Robotech HD. Just working my way through that. That's like a slot machine.
Working.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of is, right? Because it's like... most of the time you win, but occasionally you lose, and you have to be paying attention, but it's not... I just like the fact that I can play a game in 5 minutes. Like, if I am just sitting somewhere, or if I, you know, am waiting for something for a couple of minutes, then I will just pull that out and play it real quick.
That was the same way I felt about the Ghostbuster slot machine.
Yeah, so if you don't have that in your pocket.
No, I actually downloaded the e-app.
Oh, nice. and then I played some games on Kongregate, just to sort of have something to talk about a little bit. I played a game called Legend of the Void, which is just a sort of a kind of a dumb flash game. It's got that sort of lame Sunny style combat. I don't know if you ever played Sunny. It's not really fun.
But you don't like turn-based RPGs.
I don't like turn-based RPGs, and it is just a turn-based RPG, so it's kind of lame.
Wait, are you talking about Sunny or that game where you're trying to impress your girlfriend, Sunny Funny?
No, just Sunny.
Okay. So it's a real-time rap battle with an onion.
Then I played a game called Defend Your Nuts, which is like a tower defense-ish.
Are you a squirrel? Is it a pun because they're literal nuts?
You are a squirrel,
but you're defending your testicles.
Okay. But you have like guns and you're shooting all kinds of things that are advancing on your nuts. And then, just today I found a Kongregate game, which is potentially pretty dangerous, which is the, Creeper World Evermore.
Oh,
yeah. It's
Creeper World was a lot of fun.
I enjoyed Creeper World a lot. And
into that. It was like 2 years ago.
Creeper World 1 with procedurally generated levels. So it is just every day a new level.
Yeah, I wish that they weren't procedurally generated, kind of. I wish that they were crafted by a person so that they
had some depth to them.
Yeah, yeah, not some depth. Like,
they're still interesting. I think that
you could have an authored level that had less depth than a given randomly generated level, but just that had some intent.
But this way it's a fire and forget for the creator, right? Like, he can just sort of put the game out there and then people can play it.
Doing user submitted and user vetted levels would also be fire and forget.
Yeah, I guess. As long as there was terrible. A community.
Yeah, it would be mostly like a dick and balls that you had to protect from the ooze.
And then I went back to play that stupid Google Plus Triple Town game and was pissed off that I only had 150 turns, but apparently that's what it caps out at, even though it starts you at like 1,000 or 2,000 turns.
I did not remember that it had started you at 1,000 or 2,000
turns. Yeah, it starts you with way, way, way more turns than that. And so the whole purpose of the 150 turns is just to
keep you coming back.
Yeah.
It's a fun game, and I wish that they would let me buy it from them. I would probably pay $5.
It is strange.
I said a dollar. I bet I'd pay $5. Huh. They're just holding out. They're listening to the show, and as soon as it gets to $7.99, we're going to stop this.
As soon as you get to $50,000.
$50,000. That was enough.
So that's basically what I've been playing. Just a bunch of little stuff here and there.
Oh, I remembered one other actual little thing that I played. There's a web-based Flash point-and-click adventure called The Dream Machine, which is all the art style is all claymation. Yeah.
What am I thinking of? That I'm thinking of Nightmares Town or something that's all hand-drawn.
No, this is all claymation. It looks really good. They have just recently, in the past couple of weeks, put out Chapter 3.
Something I did not know is the original Diablo was a claymation game.
Really?
Yeah. The people who eventually became Blizzard North that made Diablo had pitched to Blizzard a game that was literally claymation.
Huh.
And they said, we like your idea, but claymation isn't going to work. And so they made them do it as graphics.
Huh. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Watching that postmortem of Doom, it was interesting because they did some of the sprite work for the enemies, actually making the guys out of clay and then posing them and taking photographs of them and digitizing them, which was, then they were just like, fuck that. Makes it a lot harder to put John Romero's face on it. So they actually just started taking pictures of John Romero's
face. His face is basically just made out of clay, right?
Yeah.
It's posable.
Kevin, what's new?
In the world?
Yeah.
It isn't really a news story, but it was sort of relevant to our assignment. I saw a report that mentioned that Zynga has not had any growth in daily active users since October of 2009. So,
do you think that's meaningful?
Well, it is meaningful in the sense that people were sort of thinking that there was like sort of no limit to the number of people that were going to get sucked into this.
I feel like maybe crazy people were thinking that.
Yeah. It capped out, but I did not realize that it had been capped out for over 2 years. Mm. Right. Like, that's kind of interesting.
I don't know. I think it's not surprising that the bloom is off that rose a little bit for people.
I mean, there's still hundreds of millions of
people. Seeing how horseshit Farmville was.
And the fact that people are still playing it.
Yeah.
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 What else?
So it was interesting to me to see that Unity, which I think has only been a plugin for like a little over a year. I'm not sure how long that's been around.
That's true.
They have 750,000 registered developers.
I mean, I don't think that means a lot because I am a registered Unity.
Yeah. Developer. Doesn't that just mean you've downloaded
the free kit. Oh, is that all that means? Done anything with it. Yeah.
They have 80 million installs though of the plugin. So that's pretty significant.
Yeah.
More and more
stuff on Kongregate is becoming Unity.
It was the first plugin that I had downloaded. I think, you know, Flash sort of was built in, but I think like Shockwave was the last one. That was like, 8 years ago or something like that. Like there really had not been a new plugin that I had felt compelled to download until Unity. And it had been five or six years.
Shockwave turned into Flash.
No, it's a totally separate thing. It's still a separate thing.
Flash replaced Shockwave. I mean, it was Shockwave Flash for a really long time. Like,
maybe like there was, but like it's a director, like there's a different, it's a different thing.
Mm. I don't remember the actual lineage, but Shockwave.com was where you would go to play Flash games for quite a while.
Huh.
I could be wrong. I could just be making shit up. Who knows? Oh, no. In fact, Flurbnerd.com is where you went to play all the hottest Unity games back in 99. So I know it's been around for more than a year.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. And then Facebook is doing its IPO probably by the end of the year.
Business.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're going to be valuing the company at $100 billion.
That doesn't seem to mean anything.
I don't know what that means. I don't understand how something that is so amorphous as Facebook can have such a ridiculously high valuation. I mean, sure, they can make a bunch of money.
Well, that's it.
Is that... I mean, but, like, they don't have $100 billion worth of assets.
Sure, you know what? Zuckerberg has $100 billion worth of gold. It's his chair.
Oh, I thought that's where he hides it. Was $100 billion worth of bison that he had killed so that he can eat well this year. He's doing, like, you know, he set a challenge for himself that he was only going to eat things that he had killed himself.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah, that was a thing that he did this year.
Is he growing his own vegetables?
I think he's only, I don't know if it's true
he
for
only
animals.
Eating meats.
The meats that he is eating this year are things that he has killed.
See, if he was the guy that ran GoDaddy, it would be easy because that one elephant would feed him for a really long time.
Yeah.
I mean, you could probably live for a month on just the elephant's dick.
Yeah.
I mean, if it was a live elephant, you could probably live indefinitely on just the elephant's dick.
Yeah, I wasn't going to go there, but...
You didn't have to, Riff.
Yeah.
So that's, welcome to Pakistan, Daddy.
And that's all the relatively uninteresting industry news that I had, given that I didn't really pay attention over the long holiday.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's too busy playing Skyrim to make any news.
Yeah,
that's true.
Everybody in the entire industry. Infinity Blade 2 is coming out.
Yeah, it'll be out. I mean, it's already out in New Zealand. It'll be out sometime tonight.
My reaction to that is the same as my reaction to when Jimmy cracked corn.
Was it following the international dateline or something?
Something like that. I don't know how everything on the App Store comes out in New Zealand first and then trickles out to the rest of the world.
That's strange.
I saw one person. It might have been one of the McElroys posting on his Twitter. Infinity Blade 2 is what's going to be taking up a bunch of your time from here on out. And I was just like, I don't believe you, Internet man.
Who is that?
I think it might have been Justin McElroy. Like, maybe he'd probably reviewed it for Joystick or something. But he maybe had probably reviewed it for Joystick or something. That it does not get any more committal than that. I played Infinity Blade for like 3 minutes and I was like, eh.
I mean, it looks really pretty, and from what I've seen of screenshots, the second one will look even nicer, and maybe they'll make it more interesting. You know,
if there's more game,
if there was like a dungeon that you could move around in, and then you could like kill a dude, and then go choose a different dude to, you know, like, a gremlin. I'm gonna go kill a gremlin, take his pitchfork, throw it at a bird,
and thus the circle of life continues.
Yeah.
Huh.
No, I mean, if you could do things like that instead of just like, okay, I sword fought a dude. And I get that a lot of video games are just like sword fighting a series of dudes, but it's not just like I'm going to murder everyone in this parade, like in order.
That's Postal that you're thinking of there.
Manhunt.
Yeah.
Manhunter. Man's laughter. No, what was that game? Manhunter?
Manhunt, I think, is the one you're thinking
of. It's like
the
Rockstar game where you're a serial killer.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry, the serial killer game where you're a rock star.
Yes.
I'm thinking of Guitar Hero. Oh, man, I pwned some dude at Guitar Hero in an arcade.
Oh, yeah?
I was playing Guitar Hero, and he came up and, like, put in some money to challenge me, and I was like, okay. And then I pwned his ass.
Nice.
Nice.
Do you get to keep his money?
I don't think so.
That would be awesome.
That'd be a good gambling game.
Yeah.
The Guitar Hero, Tato gets a cut. It's Tato. Konami. Otaku gets a cut. I don't even know who made Guitar Hero. Red Octane. Who makes the arcade edition of
God,
Guitar
I don't
Hero?
Know.
Yeah. Played a lot of DDR. I did play zero DDR.
Jenny has started playing DDR. Yeah. That's where that pad we had here went.
Okay. I didn't even know it was gone. Yeah. I didn't know whose it was.
Yeah, I don't know whose it was either.
I don't miss it. Yeah. So that's the news. Oh, DDR. DDR pad from Video Games Hot Dog gone. Who can solve this mystery?
Film at 11.
Hey, so the assignment.
Castleville.
We kept getting yelled at for not saying the name of the assignment. The assignment's Castleville.
Is that the one with all the dragons and everyone has a Scandinavian accent?
Did you actually even play Castleville?
I did, if it's the one with all the dragons and everyone has a Scandinavian accent.
Riff, seriously?
Come on. In 2 weeks, you couldn't...
I was busy playing a game with lots of dragons and everyone had a Scandinavian accent. I completely forgot.
Riff. Every time I go into Dragonreach to use the Enchanter next to Feralgar Hiddenfire or whatever,
yeah.
I just want to find the dude that voice acted that guy and kick him in the balls.
Do you know my favorite character in the game? There's a guy that runs the stables, I think in Riften. His name is Hralgir Horse Crusher. I don't think I want to give my horse to him.
He's in the stables?
Yeah.
I guess people used to take, like, their last name was their profession. Yeah, that's not a good scene.
Horse Fracker.
He got fired.
Daggett Fracker.
He got fired from his
Douglas
job.
Douglas Daggett Fracker.
At the dog food
this
factory.
This horse you left here is not Crush. I fix it for you.
A lot of people are coming into town because of the unrest. That fucking wizard guy. There is a tranquility in magic. It's very reassuring to me.
Get to the chopper.
But it's not even the... It's not even like the Schwarzenegger guy. It's just like this... What... Did somebody tell you this character was retarded? Like, what? Why are you acting like that? No one talks that way. I need to find, like, a recording of that guy to edit in here.
Come to Dragon's Reach to discuss the ongoing hostilities, like the rest of the great warriors. There's a tranquility in magic, don't you think? It is simply energy to be harnessed by those with the will and knowledge to do so.
So that people will realize that I'm not exaggerating when I talk about how awful that guy's dialogue is.
You should do that.
So,
Castleville. Yeah.
Right.
Assignment Skyrim. Riff, I'm disappointed in you.
I'm sorry.
But this is the first assignment that one of us just totally blew off.
This is worse than school.
You at least played Farmville for like 5 minutes.
Yeah,
and Castleville is actually.
I'll make up for it with our next assignment because I'm totally down for the next.
I enjoyed playing Castleville. Like it is a terrible product, but it is not a terrible game. There is some neat stuff in there, and then the trappings are all get 9 billion of your friends to play this, and...
I think I probably enjoyed it for like an hour or two, and then I started to feel obligated.
See, I only played it for...
Probably an hour or two.
Maybe an hour or two.
Okay.
Yeah. I wasn't going to let it get a hold of me, and so I played it until it stopped being fun, and then I walked away, and then the next day I was like, huh, I wonder what's going on in there now. I bet I got a full bar of energy, even though I know I could have come back 2 hours later.
Yeah. So that was my problem, right? Like, in order to maximize your progression, you have to come back sooner than 2 hours probably, but you know, at least once every 2 hours and spend all your energy. And that just drove me fucking crazy.
Yeah. Like, God, what was that one we played for a while, that really text heavy one that with that weird Victorian hell
Echo Bazaar
that had that same kind of mechanic.
Oh, has that an energy mechanic like that?
yeah.
You had fucking 10, like energy capped out at 10 after 10, like 40 minutes.
Yeah, and they filled like a turn every 5 minutes.
Fuck that. Like, yeah. Like that is my number one complaint about Castleville is the energy system and the 2 hour timer on it. And that's not, I mean, it isn't a 2 hour timer. It's just every 5 minutes you get more energy. And then it caps out at 25. I was really, really hoping that as you leveled up, your energy cap went up.
It doesn't.
And no, it stays at 25. Unless at level 50, it goes up to 30 or something.
Or if you send them $50.
Well, but there wasn't. Like that, I think they are just, that is just a hard cap.
Yeah, that's pretty obnoxious.
They the game is in beta and they were changing it pretty heavily while we were playing it.
Yeah, adjusting the costs of things and that.
Yeah, when I first started playing, here's what makes me sad. Exploring stuff was really easy and cheap, and then it tripled in price to explore stuff.
I am guessing that we probably were participating in a lot of A/B testing about.
You think?
Yeah. Yeah.
I wonder if that's true.
I mean, why wouldn't they, right? Like so here's the thing that I got to thinking about. Because I, thinking about slot machines in Las Vegas. Slot machines have to pay out some fixed amount.
I thought you said slot machines have to put out.
Yeah, slot machines have to put out.
I guess that's why they're called slot machines.
They have to pay out a fixed amount of what gets put into them, right?
Yes.
But I don't know how that has to be done, right? So I can imagine them doing some experiments and figuring out different sort of like
reward schedules,
moment to moment schedules of payouts that would keep people playing more. And it would be trivial for them to do. I mean, unless it's like, oh fuck, the inspector is going to be here in an hour and we're still a half a percent below our payout rate, which is why it's weird. I mean, how often would you have to sample that?
I think that live A/B testing is.
A/B testing, what does that mean exactly?
So people got really pissed off at Amazon once because
they were doing live A/B testing.
They were doing A/B testing where half of the people who showed up were shown one price on a thing and the other half of the people that showed up were shown another price on the thing. And they just were seeing, all right, well, how many of these can we sell at this price versus how many can we sell at this price? Like just doing some research. But the fact that it wasn't the same from person to person, once people found out about that, they were super pissed.
A/B testing is literally like you divide your population into groups and then you give them actual different information and then see where the response rate is higher.
A
lot of things.
A/B is not an abbreviation.
No.
It's just saying group A,
it's just group A and group B. So like you'll show like if we in KOL say introduced a new interface feature and we didn't know which of two ways we were going to do it. And so what we did was all of the people with even player IDs got one version and all the people with odd player IDs got another version. And then we did these polls that were like, how do you feel about this interface?
Except
then,
they don't even have to do polls. They can just see which one generates more click-throughs.
Well, sure. Zynga doesn't. Zynga only cares about those numbers, right? Whereas we would be doing it to try to actually make people happy.
We would probably...
they would be doing it to try and make some
money. We would probably be explicit about it. And generally, A/B testing is not explicit.
It doesn't work. Like, the feedback that you get isn't as valuable if people know that they're being experimented on, right? And like that's sort of like the hallmark of psychological research is you can't... People can't know what is being measured, or it's not accurate. And, you know, with Amazon, like, that really doesn't bother me at all. Like,
it's weird, but...
It is a little weird, but, like, I don't know why people would assume that buying something online, they're suddenly immune to the, oh, what the fuck, across the street, this gas station has gas for 4 cents a gallon cheaper. Like, shit like that happens all the time.
Yeah.
You know, you'll buy something and then you'll go to another store and see it cheaper and you don't think like, God damn it, world, how dare you allow that to happen? Whereas like, you know, on Amazon, I don't know, I guess you'd like to think it's more egalitarian and everything's the same everywhere. But like, neither of those people would have been pissed if they hadn't known the other existed. Right. Which to me means that their concern is not valid. Like it is a real concern, but it is not a meaningful concern. It is just this is bad because it pisses me off. It's not that this pisses me off because it's bad.
Right.
So when you click a thing in Castleville, one thing that I really liked, one thing that I think felt really good about playing this game was you click it and then those big fat icons pop out of it and land on the ground and you mouse over them to pick them up.
And if you don't, I think you lose out on them.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
And mousing over it, clicking on them would have felt like a big chore in a way that mousing over them totally did not.
Yeah, it was a little frustrating because when you would have a neighbor... let them do their little action things, they would do stuff and stuff would pop out. And if you didn't happen to be watching them, I think you just lost out on that stuff.
Yeah.
That seems to be like, because I was reading somebody posted on the forum that gigantic Tim Rogers article about The Sims
social
social game. Yeah. And it is apparently a big thing in the social game developers that they want to force the player to pay attention to the game and not just leave it running in another tab.
That, like, fucking chance of failure at everything that you
do. Yeah.
I mean, that's why they bring those fucking wolves in. Yeah. Like, if you
totally
click
is.
On a tree 20 times
yeah.
and look away, you'll come back and, oh, sorry, you can't actually harvest that tree 20 times because this wolf just showed up and you have to click on it now.
Yeah.
Like... Yeah.
I thought for a while that maybe there was some good strategy in like making wooden clubs so that you could like fight off the rats easier and like making better stuff like that, but there really isn't a whole lot of that because in order to craft stuff you spend to gather the resources to craft and then to craft it, you're almost at a net loss of energy.
Seeing that something cost 10 planks of wood and seeing that a plank of wood took 15 minutes to make was the same as seeing you can't build this.
Well, like, except that you can
build
ask,
multiple
no, that you can ask all your friends for yeah. the planks of wood.
Okay, so this is when yeah. this is when it stopped being fun. I searched for Castleville neighbors. It sent me to a Facebook group of a bunch of people that are like, yeah, I want neighbors on Castleville. So my fake Facebook account friended all of these like random middle-aged women on their real fucking Facebook yeah. accounts. Mm-hmm. So now, what the fuck? Like, these women are fucking crazy. Like,
are you getting all kinds of weird yes, messages and shit from
yes,
them?
Like,
these are their actual Facebook accounts, and we are now their Facebook friends, so we could probably just, like, totally show up at these ladies' houses and be like, hey, I'm your cousin, you know, I'm your cousin Judy's oldest boy. Like, it's, like... Huh? Yeah, I never really understood the like whole concerns with Facebook privacy until mm-hmm. I started seeing, like, wow, people just don't care.
Yeah.
Like... The only reason that I just indiscriminately friended people that I didn't know in real life is because I was on a fake Facebook account that all
Same.
I did was play these games with. But
right.
Because
I just there was no way that I was going to spam up my real Facebook account with hundreds or even thousands of notifications that I put out.
I do not have a good sense of how Facebook works, but I don't know when it's posting things to my wall. I don't know what
anytime you said share, it was posting something.
It's posting something on my wall.
Yes.
And anytime, I guess Facebook popped up those little confirmation boxes whenever it was going to actually send somebody something, but it would let you do them in bulk.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. So I friended all these people. I became Castleville neighbors with all of these people, and then it's like every time I log on, I have 100 messages
yep.
that's like, click here to send, click here for wood, click here a plank, click here a bee, honey, click.
Playing as often as I was, playing once every 2 hours, there were some inherent limits where it would just not let me collect all of those things. And they were not explicit as to what limits I was hitting.
You almost got your Facebook account disabled from having too
I did.
Many, from having too many
they
shut, friends. They stopped you from making new friends.
Well, this is my fake Facebook account, which
you
I don't care
You got enough
about.
Friends, fucker.
They prevented me from adding new friends for 2 days because I had invited too many people that I did not know in real life to be Facebook friends.
How does Facebook know?
Because when somebody does a friend request for you, if you say, I don't know this person, and I don't know this person in real life... enough of those requests come back that they view your friend request as spam.
I don't know that. I think it might happen because of the frequency.
No,
right?
it happened
to me, and it's not. It wasn't because people said I don't know this person in real life. It popped up a thing that was like, do you know this person in real life
sure.
that you're about to friend? And I said no, and it was like, all right, you better stop this, or we're going to flag you for spamming. But
yeah,
that was after like 15.
Yeah, and I don't know what that's all about, but
I mean, it's got to be annoying for Facebook, given that their stock and trade is in meaningful information about the relationships between people.
Right.
It's got to be annoying for them the behavior.
I mean, you said that Tobold had his account disabled
the fact that you can just you have a fixed amount of energy, but you can just play as much as you want and get as much stuff as you want by having a lot of neighbors, because every time you go to a different neighbor's house, you get five free energy
every,
to spend there.
Every day you get five effectively energy to spend at a neighbor's.
Per neighbor, and
per
there was
neighbor.
No limit on the number of neighbors that you can
get. There was
get
no limit that we had encountered.
Yeah.
It's possible that it's limited at 500.
That was the point
like
at
that.
Which it totally stopped being interesting to me. Like, I just was like, ugh, I'm getting away from this because I can't.
There are a ton of systems at work in Castleville, and some of them are really cool. And like, you know, if if there were a group of like 20 or 30 close friends that were all playing it together, I think it would actually be kind of fun to build each other's, to help each other build each other's KISS systems.
Right. Like,
well, but I don't think it would be, it is not, it was not that fun, right? It was not, I don't think I would play it as a single player
game.
Game.
You could take those art assets and some of those rules and you could make a game that was fun. I mean, The Sims isn't fun for us, but The Sims is arguably fun for a lot of people.
It was primarily just, it was still bad. It was still just a bunch of tasks. There was really almost no strategy to it.
Every game is just a bunch of tasks. I guess you're right about there not being a lot of strategy to it, but like, I don't know. Positioning things near other things created bonuses.
Yeah.
There are definitely like,
there was definitely some like
maximal efficiency things that you could go for.
And there was, you know, there was a lot of like sandbox. There were people who did really cool designs with the sort of the sandboxy elements that you were given to like design a world.
Giant cock and ball made out of hay bales.
Yeah. I mean, like that was kind of interesting to see what people did with all of their buildings and trees and stuff. I was the opposite of sort of an aesthetic designer. I just put everything in its functional group and then kept everything as close as possible.
If somebody came to your farm and what they wanted to do was harvest a bunch of chicken shit,
that was all in one place.
Yeah, all of your chickens were in one place and all your cottages were in one place and all your maidens' towers were in one place. Yeah. You have to get other people. You build a building, but then you have to get friends to crew it. And then the building levels up if they go in every day and click on it to like tend to their duties.
Yeah.
And it's like,
which is, as you going over to somebody else's property is the by far the most lucrative thing that you can do on somebody else's property, mm-hmm. is tend to a building that you're a member of their crew. So,
I don't know.
Like, it was fascinating to see.
I enjoyed myself.
Yeah, the theming of it was way more interesting than Farmville.
The art is nice.
The art was really good. Like, seeing a modern game that they had built up from scratch with all of their sort of systems in mind.
Also, reasonably comprehensible interface.
Yeah.
I don't want to, I mean, it would be interesting to go back during video games 131, video games hot
and,
number
and
131,
it,
and see how the interface compares. Yeah. Now. Zynga will be out of business by then.
Yeah, I doubt it. But it had there were five, within the first 6 days, there were 5 million players.
Hmm. Yeah, which is the fastest. The first time I looked at it, there were like 88,000 daily average users. And then, it was up to 5 million. Bye.
It was the fastest growing game Zynga had ever put on there, like that had ever published or whatever. And it was basically a studio that they had acquired whole cloth in Dallas. I forget the name of the studio.
It was called Whole Cloth Studios.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. But it was actually like a sheet with a hole in it.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is where a lot of the money that Zynga did not post as profit this past year went, is to buying entire studios that were working on game ideas or whatever and just publishing them. But even with five new games in the past like 6 months, they still have not seen any growth in users. So they just have the same users.
Every market gets saturated eventually, right? Like, some new, even shittier genre of game is going to have to come out to capture the rest of those.
It would be
ladies.
Impossible to have 10 billion users of a game because there aren't that many people.
Right.
So there's definitely some saturation point for everything because there's just a finite number of people. Right?
If you could figure out a way to give everyone multiple personalities.
Sure.
And you get them to play twice.
Yeah, I guess if they could.
They had different bank accounts.
When they thought they were sleeping, they were actually just working a second job so that they could pay for your social game.
Right.
Yeah.
Rent the social game about renting the basement of this. I woke up with an idea in my head for a video game. Straight Camp Tycoon.
Straight Camp?
Yeah. You run one of those camps,
sure.
Like a Christian camp for converting gay kids. And so this does not seem out of line with like one of those, I'm making a statement indie games that
right.
could come out somewhere, right? It depends on the statement that you want to make. Anyway, I don't know. I woke up thinking, genius. I'm gonna win a MacArthur grant for this idea. And then I didn't think of it at all until just now.
What would you do?
Part of it would be figuring out what kind of gay each of the dudes was so that you could room them against their predilections so that there would be less
recidivism.
Stopping the dudes from fucking each other at the camp is the most critical thing because the parents find out and they show up and they take the kid home. So then, but I thought it might be interesting if you were like sort of working, like if you yourself were just like an asshole who only cared about money,
okay,
right?
Sure.
But you had to balance between profitability and like the sort of godliness of different ways of approaching it. To
right, because you have to make as much money as possible while still pleasing your investors,
yeah,
who are
in fact God.
Yes.
Anyway, I think we're onto something here.
I think we have
found asymmetrics. Although what I don't want to do is code up a bunch of systems for like 15-year-old dudes fucking each other, which is what a lot of it would have to be.
That's maybe you could sell that idea to a Peter Molyneux when he's done.
Oh, yeah.
When he's done with survival horror bowling.
Twitter shut
disabled
down that guy's account.
Fake, yeah.
But apparently it's come back. They're just making him change the name of it.
Yeah, I think what happened was Lionhead objected to him using their logo in his most recent video.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know. I've been following that guy for a while. It's pretty funny. Hey, what's our next assignment?
In going with the fact that it just became available on the 3DS eShop in the US, I think the next assignment is going to be Metroid 2 Return of Samus.
All right. So yeah, you can get it on the 3DS eShop. You can also apparently play it on Java. Perhaps?
Yeah, there's a Java applet. It doesn't seem to have sound that I noticed, but maybe my sound was turned down.
We would never tell you to get this on an emulator, but you could.
You can buy it on Game Boy.
You can also buy it at Bookman's.
The cheapest new cartridge on Amazon was $150.
Wow! So don't get it at Bookman's. Jesus.
The cheapest used one was only $5.
Oh, okay.
So you can maybe find it used.
And find it's a used Game Boy.
This is original Game Boy, black and white graphics.
No, I mean an original. You can play it on a DS Lite still. You can still play a regular Game Boy game on there, can't you?
No, I don't think so. Not because it was the Square cartridges.
Yeah, the GBA.
You can play
cartridges.
A GBA cartridge on that, but
so
not.
That, but you can play it on you can play a regular Game Boy
on
in a GBA
potentially.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So get out your GBA.
Yeah.
Or GBA is certainly doing wonders for my GPA. Am I right? Because I'm playing Game Boy instead of going to class.
Yeah.
So Metroid 2.
It was I sunk a ton of hours into that game. I played it through a lot of times. It's
does it have a map?
You know, I don't remember.
Does it have an issue of Nintendo Power
with the map in it? It is a little more linear than people might be expecting from a Metroid game. It's not totally linear, but it's the sort of thing where you'll play an area and find everything in it and then activate the thing that causes the next area to unlock, and then you go to that area.
So there's not a lot of Metroidvania backtracking. I mean, this predates, you know, it postdates Metroid, clearly. This was actually a prequel that came out first. And this wasn't one of those things where, because I remember, like, finding out that the Whistle from Twilight, what's the Dawn one, the Zelda Game Boy
Twilight Princess?
Phantom Seashell? The
Phantom
Link's
Argos.
Awakening.
Yes.
Link's Awakening, finding out that came out after A Link to the Past was like, okay, that makes a lot of sense. And then I thought maybe the same thing was going on with Metroid, but this actually came out after Metroid 1, but before Super Metroid.
Yeah, it actually has the plot continuity from between Metroid and Super Metroid.
You start off with ball form.
Oh, right. Super Metroid starts out with screenshots from Metroid 2. Yeah.
You start off with ball form. You can shoot downwards.
You can shoot down.
Yeah.
If you jump.
You can duck in this one, too.
Yeah. Right? You duck, and then you go into ball form.
One thing I noticed from seeing you play it is that you are huge on the screen.
Compared
which is
to
a sort of a thing that was an issue with some Game Boy games, right? Like, if you're going to have a cool-looking character, you are not going to have a lot of notice when some shit is flying at your skull.
Yeah, I played it for 3 or 4 minutes in the Java app, which I'm not even going to bother reading the URL because it is convoluted. Just do a Google search for Metroid 2.
Steal bread from Miyamoto's mouth.com / I'm a sinner.
I have no evidence that it is not somehow licensed.
Okay. All right, buddy.
I don't have any.
Because that's what they will frequently do. I know Nintendo will frequently license their properties to random websites with a soundless Java app.
Yep.
In the middle. You're right. You're right. Totally plausible. Yep. Okay. So yeah, that was. I'm looking more forward to this assignment, Riff.
Yep.
I'm
gonna play it.
You're going to jail if you skip another assignment.
Okay.
hey, we got to run because there's a shitload of work that we got to do at the time that we're recording this, or several minutes from the time that we're recording this. But, Kevin, if somebody wanted to send us a question that we will eventually read on a listener mail segment,
don't even bother.
How would they do that?
So the easiest way is to go to videogameshotdog.com, and there are links to all of our various interfaces. Twitter is @VGHotDog. Email vghotdog@gmail.com. And there's also some forums from the aforementioned videogameshotdog.com website. And someday we'll actually read some questions.
Actually, here's one. Dear friend, says Tim. Hello, friend. I have good news for you. Last week, I ordered 17 pieces China Samsung UNH55B8000 55-inch 1080p 248Hz LED HDTV. I have already completed bank's transfer payment. I received the item today. Web, liuzhixin.com. It's amazing. The item is original, brand new, and has high quality, but it's much cheaper. I'm pleased to share this good news with you. I believe you will find what you want there and have an good experience on shopping from them. Regards.
Huh.
Oh, thanks, Tim.
Yeah. You're the best.